sort of speak on a Colossians thing. So this is what Paul said. He said, if we're in him, that is Christ, it dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and power, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Okay. So, Paul says that the list of sins that were against you before you believed Christ died for your sins, that list was nailed to the cross. And what that means is that's his final destination. On the cross, Christ took upon himself the stuff on that piece of paper that had all your sins on before you believed, nailed to the cross. You know, on the cross, Christ took up all that list upon himself. He took the punishment for that whole lot in your place. So this list that went around, it stopped at the cross because Christ took the stuff off the list. So, yeah, and he paid for it. That's the point of the cross. So, all the list of stuff you did before you believed, its destination, final resting place, is the cross. Christ took upon himself all that stuff. Then, before Paul says it's the list of stuff against you is nailed to the cross, he says you receive the circumcision of Christ, which means that you put off the sins of the flesh. And what that means is when you believe Christ died for the sins on that same cross, the Holy Spirit baptized you into Christ, which means your spirit, the center of your soul, was made in union with Christ. And when Christ died on the cross, your spirit died with Christ. So, an analogy is like, I don't recommend it, but if you put a £20 note in a book and burn the book, like what happens to a £20 note? Like, it goes the same place as the book. So, if the £20 note is in the book and you burn the book, the £20 note is burned. Your spirit was in Christ. Your sinful center of you, your body, soul, and spirit. Your spirit is the center of your spiritual part, your soul. That center of your spiritual part, which is the center of you, the inmost part of you, that was joined with Christ when he died on the cross. So it actually died. So exactly like the £20 note gets burned, the book gets burned. There's no questions about it. It goes the same way as the book. There's no argument against it. It doesn't happen. It just does. So your spirit was joined to Christ. Christ died. Your sinful spirit died. And then when God, by his miraculous power, raised Christ from the dead, he also, by his miraculous power, raised your sinful spirit from the dead. But it was born again of God, which means that it didn't get raised sinful spirit. It got raised born again spirit, spirit that has a holy nature. So the center of you, your spirit, has a holy nature before God. The center of you, and one aspect of that, the center of you is pretty before God. It's pretty and it's attractive. God designed your character the way that he wanted to. You had your spirit had that character and had a nature of being sinful. When God killed your spirit on the cross and then raised it from the dead, you maintain the same character, but the nature of you is holy. So your character is still the same. So you actually are raised again from the dead. It's your spirit that's raised from the dead, but you have a holy nature, which means it is not sinful, which means the center of you is pretty before God. Okay? And then there's one question then. If your sins are dealt with, if your sins are all paid by Christ, and the list of stuff against you is basically those words are pulled off that list and Christ takes them upon himself, that's the end of that list. Your nature is now holy before God, and your spirit is just pretty before God. And then there's the thing about when you walk around in your sinful flesh. And Paul said in that same passage, he said, you receive the circumcision of Christ, which means you've put off your sinful nature, which means when your spirit died to your sinful flesh, and it doesn't have anything to do with your sinful flesh anymore. Your sinful flesh is not your spirit. So your spirit is pretty before God, and whether the fruits of the Holy Spirit pop out of your flesh or acts of sin pop out of your flesh, either way, your spirit remains pretty before God. And either, so your spirit is pretty before God, and either pretty things pop out by the power of the Spirit, or sinful acts pop out. But your sinful acts are not accredited to your account anymore, and you have one account, you are one man before God. You're one man or woman before God. And you have one account before God, and that accounts, you are pretty before God. And irrespective of what pops out of your flesh, whether it's pretty acts of the Holy Spirit or it's sinful acts of your flesh, the sinful acts of your flesh do not get credited to your account anymore, because you are not your sinful flesh anymore. So basically, in your nature, you're pretty before God, and irrespective of what you do, you stay pretty before God and not ugly. And that's the one thing that I want to say, is your spirit is pretty before God and not ugly by its nature. And irrespective of what pops out of your sinful flesh, since you believe Christ died for your sins, you remain a pretty before God and not ugly. And that is it.